God's people said? Amen. Take your Bibles and be turning to Hebrews chapter 12. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for being here and being a part of our service. Today we're going to be talking about a race well run. A race well run. This is a combination Mother's Day, March last day sermon, okay? So you'll kind of catch the familiarity up there if we go through it. Hebrews chapter 12 is one of those great scriptures in the Bible. It's one of those great chapters in the Bible, right after, of course, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is a chapter of faith and faithful people. And it goes through and does kind of a grocery list of all these different guys and gals that have gone through the Bible and have been what we call people of faith and faithfulness. And that's what we want to be as parents. In your opening there, it says, "Who is setting my course?" And so that's the word we're talking about here. Paul, he goes through and he lays out, in several of his books, he talks about race. We don't know if he was an athlete or what, but he talked a lot about racing. And in this segment here, he's talking about a foot race. And in those days in Rome and ancient Greece and all those things, it was athletics was a big thing. It was, you know, the Olympics and all the things that we see today were those things that were going on in those days also. And so there's always competition where they were racing on foot or racing their horses or racing chariots or anything. If you ever watch any of those ancient kind of shows, you always see that there's some kind of a competition going on. So we're still carrying that on today. But what we're talking about today is we're talking about our course that God sets for us. So the opening question is, who is setting my course? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. It's a self-examination that we have to ask ourselves. Who's setting my course in life? Well, for some people, it's the culture. You know, we kind of give into the culture and kind of go along with that. Or some people, it's greed. All it is about making a living and not making a life. And some people, it's other people's opinions. They're always considered about what other people are thinking, what they're saying, what they're doing. And for other people, it's hobbies. Some people, it's habits. Some people, their whole life thing, if you talk to anything about them, it's like it's all they do is some kind of a hobby. It's where they're going or where they've been or what they've killed or what they've caught or something like that. And then for other people, like I said, it's a habit that identifies them. It might be alcoholism or it might be some kind of a drug addiction or something like that. But everything is consumed in their life by some type of a habit. And so that's what sets our course. Those things are what directs the kind of life that we live. And so today what we have to ask ourselves is, as parents, you know, who's going to set my course? Because who sets my course in life has a lot to do with how my children turn out also. And so we have to be mindful of that. As parents, we play an important role in our children's bringing up. We determine, you know, what they do and what they don't do to some degree. And as they grow older, we give them more and more freedom. We talk about their friends and and who can't be their friends. And that's a big aspect in growing up and things like that. So we have a part to play. And so as they look at our lives, as Trina said, you know, she had identified something in her mother's life that meant something to her as she saw her go through her busy day. And then she realized the importance of Scripture and realized the importance of her prayer time with the Lord. It set something in her that I'm sure she's carrying on to this day also. And so it's something that we're modeling before our children. We're modeling against other people of our lives. In Psalms 127 and verse 4, it says this. It says, "Like arrows in a hand of a warrior are sons born in one's youth." What that means is it's like we take our kids and we shoot them out into the world. And as they get older, we're hoping that we've done a good job with that. And because that's going to come back to us, it's going to come back to them. All those things we've set apart for them. In Hebrews here, what it's talking about here, it's talking about how to set that course, how to run that race for our lives that might be not only encouraged for our children, but also for the people around us. So in Hebrews chapter 12 there, and looking at verse 1, it says, "Therefore," and he's talking about therefore because of chapter 11 and all these folks that we've, the Abrahams, the Moses, and all the different folks he's talked about there. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so uneasily tangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." This is one of my favorite scriptures. I've preached it many times in different ways. And why is it? It so easily lays out about this race. He says in verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who had endured such opposition for sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to this time of the year we call Mother's Day. And each of us understand the significance of our mothers and the importance of they are. And God, sometimes as we're raising our children, we forget that, Lord. It's as we look back and realize how short a time we really had to instill and to, God, help them to set the course that you call them to, Lord. And so, God, those that are here this morning with young children, God, help them understand the importance of the life that they live is important before their children, because it does help set a course for their lives. Those that have teenagers and those that have young adults now, God, we still have an influence in their lives. And even those folks that are grandparents here this morning, God, they have an influence in their lives. And God, what we want to do is we want to finish well. God, as we grow older, Lord, our children and our grandchildren and other people still watch us and see if we're still being faithful to your calling. God, help our service to you not be something we used to do, but it's something we're continuing to do as we live on our lives, Lord. And help us understand the importance that other people around us are watching us run our race, God, especially our children. And so, God, let us be faithful parents as we, carry out the calling you have for our lives. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus, and amen. So as parents, we're playing an important part of setting a course for our children. And I always have to remember that somebody's always watching us. Whether you're a parent, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a pastor, whatever it is, somebody else is always watching us. They're walking in behind us, and they're following me, and they're looking at my example. And what it does, we have to understand what happens is that we point them to the calling on their lives. One of the things that I always told my boys is they was always talking about what they were going to do in life and do this and that. And I always say, just pray and ask God, because that's the one that you need to get your directions from. I can somewhat direct my children. You can to some degree. But God has that course for them. He has that path for them. He's got something laid out for their lives as well. And so here in Scripture, what this does, it paints a picture of a foot race, and like I said before, in ancient Israel or Rome. And what it is he's laying it out here, and he's saying, because of chapter 11 and all the folks that we saw there and their faithfulness and their difficulties in life and how they finished well, he's encouraging us to do the same thing here. And so what he's saying here, this is a scripture here of encouragement. It's one to try to keep us going, because this is challenging times we live in. Ministry and parenting is a hard thing. We're living in very difficult times today. The grain is going against us. We're in the minority, and we have to understand that if you're living a Christian life and you're kind of going against the grain of what our society is saying is what we should be doing, and you need to realize that. And so that's what makes the church so important, because we come along other people that's trying to go in the same direction, is trying to do something with their kids that we're trying to do with ours, and that's raise them in a godly home. And so we need each other as a church, and we have to understand that. So Paul lays it out here. What we see here in Hebrews, if whoever you want to call the writer is, what he does here, he lays it out here, and he lays out what this is, how important this is, and so he challenges us to keep going. So what does this verse teach us about these things? Well, the first thing is, I look through here, it's very easy outline to lay out. First of all, he talks about the witnesses. In verse 1, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And he's talking about from Hebrews chapter 11 there. And so what happens is there's examples that we follow. When anyone's running a race, and one of the things that I never knew until I got older in life is that the Olympics, what happens is those folks get there early. They get there maybe weeks and weeks earlier, and they run that course multiple times before we ever see them do a race. And so I always just assume as a young person, I thought, well, they just kind of got off the plane that morning and they just went there and they got on there and they took off, and that's kind of how I thought it. But no, that's not how it works. They've been trained. They've got on that course. They've got the feel of it. And that's why they look so smooth and it looks so good. Well, that's what we're to be doing with our children. We're to be going out in front of them and helping them, giving them opportunities to make mistakes, giving them enough rope sometimes, I say, to hang themselves. Because why? It's a lot easier to reel a child back in when he's young than when he's old. And so we have to understand that. So the witnesses before us are examples that we have before us. And all of us are examples. And our example of what? What was their example of? Well, their example, first of all, their faith. And they were living in a difficult time with their faith and their faithfulness to go on, even in the difficult times of life. And so here we see them. He calls them here spectators. Now, I don't think this is literal. I don't think that people in heaven can see us. I don't believe that. But he's saying here as an example, it's like they're cheering us on. They're saying, look, I've been faithful and I've carried out faithfulness before you. And so they're cheering us on. And so the Old Testament lays it out for us to try to encourage us in the difficult times we're going to have in our lives, because we're going to have difficult times. I don't think we've faced the most difficult times that we've had. I think our children and our grandchildren are going to face even more difficult times. If you watch the news, if you see anything, you see that there's an anti-Christian movement in this country. There's more and more. Many of you have got your head buried in the sand. You don't know anything about it. You don't know how to vote. You don't know how to what to do. You don't. We're listening. You think you don't. It doesn't matter to you. Yes, it does. Okay. And let me give you an example. Germany thought the same thing before Hitler. Okay. And then he began to change it politically. And what happened is they began to annihilate the Jews. And everybody thought, well, what's going on here? We don't know what's going on here. Well, there's a lot of people in America. All you do is get up and go to work, make your living. As long as everything's fine, you think everything's okay. But there's a movement in our country to go anti-God, go away from the things of God. I watched on TV last week on one of the news shows. Now, it's been going on for many years, but now there's a huge movement to get in God we trust, taken off of everything we have, okay? Off our money, off of anything we have in God. It's a big movement there. And listen, if the church sits back and does nothing, it'll be accomplished. Because why? Because there's not enough concerned Christians to care. And we as parents have to teach our children, listen, Christianity is a fight worth fighting for. Amen? And many people don't care. They don't think that. And you're kind of, like I said, you're living here in the deep south, but it's affecting us. It's coming our way. And all the things that happen out west and all the things that happens up north, and it'll eventually get to us too. And we have to begin to get prepared to fight. I've told you many times about the church. The church is not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. And we're here to do battle for the Lord and to carry out the things of God. And especially in our homes today. It's a battle going on, all the culture that we have and all the different things. And I'm just alarmed of all the things that are going on. I don't even have a clue on most of the things that are going on. Mark and I talk about Twitter and Tweety and all this kind of stuff. And I know nothing about all that stuff, you know. And I had somebody walk up to me last week and said, well, hey, Brother Nath, you know, I was telling Mark, your son put you on this snapshot or snap something or something. I'm thinking, putting me on there? I mean, what's he putting me on there for? You know, so Mark looked it up, and it's already gone, okay? Praise the Lord for that, okay? You know, so. But it's one of those things that we're living in a culture today that it's so media frenzy, and now we know things are happening just in a moment of time, and it's the world that we're living in today. And so we're to be encouraged by these witnesses as they stood up in their time and they fought the battle in their time. We have to do the same thing. We have to get our head out of the sand as parents and as a church, and we have to understand that. And so where these saints before us encourage us with their faithfulness and their faith, we have to do the same thing. We're setting an example for the people that are following us. When you put yourself in a church, when you put yourself in a leadership position, or you call yourself Christian and you wear a cross and things like that, it should mean something to you. Because why? Because you're showing other people what that represents. And we need to understand it. There's a lot of things in life that I don't do, not because it's going to send me to hell, but might be because it's going to send somebody else to hell. I don't drink and smoke and cuss and chew and all those kind of things, you know, because why? Not because I think it's going to send me to hell, because it's a bad example. And I don't want to be a bad example. You won't come to my house and see those kind of things or hear those kind of things. Because why? Because I've been laying out an example for not only for my kids, but also for the church. If you came around me and you figured and you went around me very long, you're not going to find a whole lot that you don't see right here. I mean, it might be a time I might not cuss. I might think a few cuss words, okay? But I try not to say them. But there's things like that. But I don't do those things not because I think that this, I guess you'd say it's going to send me to hell, but I don't want to be a bad example for other people. And we need, as Christian people, we need to be setting an example and laying those things out for us. And as we've gone through, if people come into leadership, I make no apology for bringing our leaders up here and having them sign that leadership covenant. Because what? It's saying that what? We're raising the standard. We're raising the bar for leadership in this church. And I don't apologize for that. I don't apologize for my life or in my family. I don't apologize for anyone that comes into leadership. Because what? We want you to know that we're not perfect. We have mistakes. We have sin in our life just like you do. But our desire, our striving is to make a difference in the world around us, is to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's to be at the forefront of our lives. And so first of all, we see a witness. And all of us are a witness to someone. And you need to understand. We see here in chapter 11, our witnesses that we're laying out, the writer of Hebrews is laying out. But now we as church folks, we as leaders, we're the witnesses that other people are following also. The second thing he lays out the race. He talks about it here in verse 1 again. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily tangles, and let us run with perseverance. And here we go, the race marked out for us. So what is that race? He's talking about the Christian life. And the Christian life is the consumption of everything. We don't compartmentalize our lives. This is Christian, this is not. Everything about our lives are to be centered on the things of Christ. And the thing that I always say here is this, is our life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And so those of us that are, you know, I'm going to be 55, and for a lot of you that's young. For some folks that's real old. And so, but what it is this: is you realize that your life, you have to set a course, you have to set a pace for your life, and it's a daily thing. And we stumble and we fall at times, but we get back up and keep going because why? We know it's worth living that way because why? Because we are setting that example. It's the life that God's called us to. He says here, it says it's marked out for us. And so I don't choose what I do in life. I follow what God has for me in life. I never saw this coming to be a pastor. You know, you've known me now. I've been in ministry for 28 years now. I was thinking here not long ago, I've been on a paid staff for 28 years now. I've been a Christian for over 30-something years now. But let me tell you what, in my early years, I never saw this coming in my life. This is not something I planned. This is not something I looked to in my younger years. But this is something that God's called me to. And God has a calling on your life, and that's your part of your race. But we also understand that raising a family is part of our race. You know, our lifestyle and our family is part of what God's put us there. And God, you know, to those children, they might be a mistake to you or an accident to you, but they're not to God. God has given you those children, and those are gifts of God, and we have to understand that. And so he calls us here, he tells us what? He says, first of all, we are called to stay the course. And he says it's marked out. And what he's asking here for a sense of perseverance. And it's like he's saying here, I'm going through a struggle. And what does perseverance mean? It means steadfastness in doing something despite the difficulties and the delay in achieving success. It means that everything in life is not going to come easy. And I can assure you, your Christian life won't. It will not be easy. It'll be something you have to work towards. It'll have to be something that you keep striving for. Because why? Because it's hard. And our life is to be focused on what God's called us to. That doesn't mean that we don't have aspirations, that we don't have goals, that we don't have things in our lives. But we want to make sure they line up with the things of God. And that's what our race is called to be. And we have to understand that. So he's calling us to have a course. And then he turns around in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says this. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And you see here in this text here in Timothy, it's Paul saying, I've struggled. It's been a hard life. And if we go back and look at the life of Paul, we see that's true. What I see is this in Scripture is this, and I don't think it's any different today. The people that are closest to God, the people that are the most faithful to God, they have the greatest struggles in life. Because of all the ills that we see in this world, because of all the sinfulness and all the walking away from the things of God, it bothers us and it should bother us. And we should be making a difference. The Bible still calls us to be salt and light in the world. And many people have put a basket on top of their life because they're not making a difference in the world. And this life is not easy. So the first thing he does, he calls us out about this race. He says we're to stay the course. And then he begins to lay out the warnings. He warns us of the obstacles it lays out before us. He uses it. He says the things that hinder and entangle us. And what he's talking about here, he's talking about things that slow us down. Things that get in the way. Things that try to trip us up. And there's all kinds of things in the world that can do that to us. From the inside, we see things like lust and greed and pride, and we call this the flesh. And so a lot of us, we're our own worst enemies, and we're getting in our own way. We want what we want, and we want both of it. We want our cake and eat it too. We want the Christian life, but we also want the best of this life. And so we try to combine the thing, and that's where we get confused sometimes. And now that's what the world is doing. The world is confused by the church because the church looks so much like the world, they can't tell the difference anymore. Because we act and react to things just like they do. So it's a hindrance to us, and we have to understand it. It's hindering our walk, and it's entangling us, but it's also entangling and hindering lost people from coming to the church now. And we have to understand that. So it's a fight from within. Then there's a fight from the outside, too. The world and the devil and the distractions and discouragement that he uses to pull us away from the things of God. You've heard me tell you, if the devil can't get you with bad things, he'll get you with the good things. And a lot of folks, the reason they're not serving God, the reason they're not running their Christian life, is not that they have it so bad, it's they have it so good. And they've got so many things that they feel like they don't need God anymore. And so, and we have to understand that we always need God. And all those things that God blesses us with, so many of the times, takes people away from the things of God. And we have to understand it. But we have to see them as blessings from God and how God's blessed us with those things. And so the question really we're asking today is this, is we're talking about the witnesses that watch us and the people that we're displaying in front of today. We're also looking at the race about it. We have to ask ourselves, you know, what's hindering me from being the person that God calls me to be? For a lot of you, you don't even know what that is. You've not spent enough time with God to even figure out what that is. What's God's calling on your life? What's God's ministry on your life? Well, a lot of you think that somehow or another you have to quit your job and come to church and, you know, serve in the church and things like that is on a staff position. That's not normally how it is. There's only a handful of us in this church at our own staff, and God's called us to that. But what I'm saying is that God will use you right where you're at to be the Christian, to be the example that you need to be right where you're at. You start where you're at, and you be Christ to the people around you right where you're at, and you begin to see God use you. And so ask yourself, you know, what is hindering me from doing that? You know, what's getting in the way? Maybe it's some type of a habit. Maybe it's some type of a hobby. Maybe it's something. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's some kind of immoral relationship that you're in right now, and you're not seeing the things of God come through for you. Because why? Because you're stopping God. You're blocking God from doing those things. And so ask yourself that question, and God will show you. He's more than likely, he already has shown you if you'll listen to him. A lot of you tune him out because why? Because you don't want to know the truth. And the Bible tells us that the truth will set us free from what? Free from sin and free from living a life that's not successful in the things of God, and we have to understand that. And so it's a race that requires something from us, and what is it? It's a sense of discipline. It's a sense of faith. It's a sense of devotion. We have to understand that it requires something to live the Christian life. It's not something that's easy. It's not something that's laid out to us on a platter. In Philippians 3 and verses 12 through 14, it tells us, it says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenly in Christ Jesus. And so he's saying what? You can see here, Paul is doing what? He's using this example as a race, and he's saying what? I'm pressing on. I'm moving forward because of the difficult times. And we have to understand that parenting is a part of that. Parenting is a part of our race. Parenting is not easy. And we have to press on to do what? To influence our children. You know, you think you've got children figured out till they get teenagers, and all of a sudden they kind of everything goes warped, okay? And they kind of start doing things on their own. But still, we're to be there for them and love them. I was telling Carl and I, and Carl's grandson and my son's going on a journey, I guess you'd say, for the summer. And so when he left, my prayer for him was, you just focus on God, son. God's got something for you out here, and you focus on him and ask him what he wants you to do. And that's all I ask of you. Just be. I don't care if he's digging a ditch or he's a banker, or a lawyer, or a doctor, or whatever. It doesn't matter to me. It's just make sure you do what God's called you to do, because that's what's successful in God's eyes, and that's what's going to satisfy you the most. And we have to understand that. So many people, all they look at is the dollar figure. How can I make the most money? I've never encouraged my kids to do that. Never encouraged my kids to try to figure out how to make the most money. I've always said, stick to what God calls you to, because that's where you find the true satisfaction with your life, and it's where you make a difference in the world. And that's what our lives are to be used for, is to make a difference in the world. Then we go on and we see the finish line. He brings it on down, and that's what we're to be focused. He says in verse 2 there, he says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And he's looking at the finish line. Jesus, he's the finish line because why? Because he finished his race. He's the example before us also. He says, what? Not my will, but thy will be done. And we have to say the thing, and same thing in our lives. We have to come to conclusions in our lives when we come to crossroads, when we come to challenges, when we come to things that we know are not right. We have to make our minds up right at that point. We have to say, God, am I going to follow you or am I going to follow myself? Well, let me tell you what, it's a slippery slope when you begin to follow yourself. For some of you might be living that way right now, and you think, well, everything's going great, everything's going fine. Oh, for a season, it always does, see? But then all of a sudden, things begin to fall apart, and things begin to happen, and you say, well, where did I go wrong? Well, go right back to where you begin to live away from the things of God, where you begin to give into your own way of thinking, give into your own morals, the morals of this world rather than the things of God. The problem, see, guys, this is the problem. The world is changing, but the Bible hadn't. And so now we're modeling more of the world than we are the Bible. And we need to understand that our life book, our guidelines as Christians are the Bible. And when the Bible says no, it means no. And when it says yes, it means yes. And it doesn't mix its words. And so our life is to be matched towards that. And that's how we run that race in a successful way. And that's how we can see the finish line before us. Jesus finished his race. He's my focus, and I focus on him because of all he's done for me. But others before us has finished races also. We look back, and I always think about I'm one of these kind of guys. I like history. And so one of the things that I like about it is thinking about those. So we've done some things in the church in a historical way and went back and I've read things about former pastors and former members and things like that. This church is 150-something years old. And there's been a lot of folks that's been before us, and we're sitting in an auditorium, and you're watching all these screens and all this air conditioning because there has been planning on this. And we're doing what? We're benefiting from what somebody else had done in the past. And now we as adults and we as parents, we're doing what? We're setting that same example for our kids. And I hope if the Lord tarries another 150 years, that there are other people sitting in a, maybe not this auditorium, but another auditorium somewhere worshiping God. And it's called Mount Vernon Baptist Church. Because why? Because of our faithfulness and how we've run our race. And how you get there, how you stay that course is one way, is you keep your eyes focused on Jesus. If you focus on me, I'm going to let you down. If you focus on other people, you're going to let you down. But we focus on Jesus because he endured his opposition and he went forward. And others before us have done the same thing. And we see the faithfulness. And then we look around and look at the folks that are watch us run our race. And we want to be faithful to finish our race as well. And the only way we'll do it is keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. He's the one that we keep our eyes fixed on. And then the last thing is this. The last thing is the prize. He says it in verse 3 here. He says, consider him, again talking about Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so what he's saying, he says, consider him, his endurance, his opposition, and then look at what he went through. Look at one of these folks in Hebrews chapter 11 went through and compare them to what I'm going through here now. We're living in a time today in America where it's easy to kind of fit in without being noticed. I mean, in those days, a lot of times they had to hide to do church. They couldn't wear crosses around their neck. They wouldn't want it to anyway, but they couldn't do it. They had to, because why? Because they were being targeted. And there's people in our country today are being targeted. But we in America, we can get by with walking into a church and getting in our cars and driving off, and nobody really knows. And we walk into a restaurant and nobody knows that we're Christians. And so we can be secret Christians and nobody knows. But that's not what changes people's lives. What we have to understand is the prize before us is Jesus Christ. And we're to honor him and we're to lift him up. And we're not to be ashamed of him. And every opportunity we have, we need to be telling other people about Christ. You know, as Mark and I have ministered now for 10 years, that's one thing that we've tried to do is always try to point this church towards Christ. It's easy for us to come in here and just draw a paycheck and do nothing. And some of the things that you've seen changes and things we've done, you might not like those things. But we were trying to do what we felt like Christ led us to do. We're not trying to make people mad, but we did want to do what we felt like God was honoring and what was going to bring more people to Christ and how we're going to grow more people. Because all of us understand that what? We're accountable to God. And we're going to give an account for our ministry one day. And so a lot of the things that we do might not be popular, but listen, we want to be popular with him and not just you, and we have to understand that. And it's struggles sometimes. And so what we have to consider is that we have to consider the prize before us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, like hopefully like you, we're longing to hear that, well done, thy good and faithful service. That's our goal. That's our striving towards, and that's what we're looking for. And if it pleases God, let me tell you what, if it pleases God, it ought to please you. Amen? It ought to please me because I'm godly and I'm living that faith and living that faithful life out before us. And we have to understand that. Again, listen to what he says in Philippians 3 and 14. He says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenly in Christ Jesus. And what he's saying is we need to understand that, yes, heaven's a great thing, a great place, and we know that we're going to be with our loved ones and all that's going to be a great thing. But don't ever forget this. The prize is Jesus Christ. He's the prize. He's the ultimate thing that's going to be the prize in heaven. Yes, I'm looking forward to being with my mother again. Yes, I'm looking forward to sitting in heaven and seeing all the saints and all those different things. But listen, our focus is going to be the person of Jesus Christ. He is our prize, and we have to understand it. He's worth us running our race. He's worth our struggles. He's worth our opposition. He is worth those things. And not only he, but also our families are. If we look at ourselves now, we're talking about witnessing. We're talking about finishing well. So many times, this is what I see. This has always bothered me in church. So many of the older folks will do what? It's like, I've done my time. Listen, you don't ever retire on God. You know, you might slow down. You might take a step back. But you don't ever retire on God. You're never through. If you're through, God will take you home. And so as long as you've got a breath in your lung, You're to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I'm so thankful for some of our older folks in our church that they hadn't just sat back and said, well, I mean, I used to do this. And listen, if all you're talking about is what you used to do, friend, let me tell you what, you're talking about the wrong thing. Don't look back at what God used to do with you. Look at about what God's doing with you now. Why? Because there's still people going to hell. Amen? There's still people that need help. And we're here striving to do what? To make a difference in our world, in our time, in our. And as long as you're still here, you're part of that. And so many times you look at older people, and they'll sit down on God and just walk away from the things of God. Listen, you that are parents and grandparents, especially you grandparents, you be faithful. You be an encouragement not only to your kids, but also to your grandkids. Let them see you get up and struggle to get to church, but come anyway. I'll never forget my grandmother. And I was real close to my grandmother, and so I would go to church with her, and so I remember she had arthritis, like I'm kind of getting on myself and everything. But I realized how much struggle she went to get to the church in her older life, in her older years, and even into her 70s, and even into her 80s, it was a struggle for her. But I watched her get up, and we'd take her a long time to get ready. She'd always have breakfast for us and everything. But let me tell you what, she wasn't going to miss church. I mean, she was there Sunday morning, she was there Sunday night, she was there Wednesday night. And the thing about my grandmother, she couldn't drive. She never got her driver's license. She started driving, she ran over a chicken on Millsville Highway, and it scared her to death, and she would never drive again. I mean, you know, and she lived to be 80 years old, never would drive. So she always had to get somebody to come and get her. But she was, if anybody would come and get her, then she would go to church every time. And I remember that about her. I remember when I got to be a little bit more heathen, and I got 15, 16-year-old. I remember what I'd do. I'd drive her to the church. I'd get out and walk in. Then when she got set down, I'd walk out and go out in the parking lot and listen to the radio till church got over with. I mean, well, I was really spiritual. But, I mean, that's what I did. But anyway, even after, all through all that, I remember one thing. Just like what Trina was saying, I saw her faithfulness. I saw her get up and struggle and all those things. She had lost, my granddad had been dead for years. She had lived by herself at that time and everything. But she got up, and her faithfulness was something that was instilled in me. I wanted to be the example to my kids and my grandkids, even in my older years, that, listen, he must think this is important because he keeps going, you know. He keeps going, he keeps serving the best he can, he keeps doing. And we have to understand that. So why? Because the prize is before us, and that's Jesus Christ, but also our families and their faithfulness to us. And so we have to ask ourselves, what's going to be said about us when it comes to our faith? Well, you know, yeah, they used to be good servants. You know, they used to do a lot for the Lord, but when they got older, they just kind of sat down and thought life just passed them on. Let me tell you what, a lot about life can pass you on, but your faith and your Christian service never passes you on. You be faithful where you're at. If you're put in a nursing home, there's a ministry in the nursing home. Amen? Anywhere we go, God can still use us, and we have to understand that, and we have to endure those things in life. So in closing, we have to ask ourselves this. What do we want to be heard about us? Well, I thought about that, and I didn't put this. I don't think I put this in your notes. I can't remember now. But here's something. Here's a life verse for my kids. You know, I talk about life verses for me, and, you know, if I have all the life verses on my tombstone, I'm going to have a monument, okay? But so I've got to get it figured out before I die. But here's one thing I want for my kids, and here's something. You ought to turn to this, and you ought to mark this in your Bible. It's 3 John. 3 John. There's only one chapter, so you ought to be figured that out. 3 John, and the verse that I like most is 14. 3 John 14. You ought to have this highlighted in your Bible, and this ought to be something you pass on to your kids. Because I think, you know, as I look at my life, and I look at my kids, this is what, or my boys, this is what I want to be said about them. 3 John, it's right after 2nd. Right before Revelations, find Revelations and go back. I'm giving you some time to turn to it now because I want you to mark this. This is something that's important to you. 3 John chapter 14. 3 John chapter 14. Or excuse me, it's 3 John chapter 4. Excuse me, 3 John chapter 4. I turned over and started reading, and I thought, well, that isn't what I want. 4. Here it is. Listen to what this says now. Here, it has some impact. 3 John chapter, 3 John verse 4. Excuse me, 3 John verse 4. I'll get it straight in a minute. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, man, is there a better verse than that when it comes to Mother's Day? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think that. Some of you probably already have this marked in your Bible. Because if you're as a parent and you read this, this is something you want to mark. Just think about this. 3 John verse 4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. You know, I've texted that to my kids several times. Because why? Because I don't think you can find any better any joy. That you know, you get your kids and you call them and they're on the phone. Well, what are you doing today? Well, we've been to church. You know, oh, well, I've had a Bible study where I was in a life group or I was in a Sunday school class or I was reading my Bible. You know, I remember here a few years ago, Adam called me and he asked me, he says, what is the book that's impacted your life more than anything else? And he said, besides the Bible. I said, okay. And I told him a book, you know, and so he says, well, I want to get something to start reading. And I thought, praise God. I said, son, don't go buy it. I'll send it to you, okay? I'll mail you a copy of it, okay? And so what I did is I began to see that he had somewhat of an interest, and Adam's not a reader. And so all of a sudden, I don't know what it sparked. I didn't get into a lot of detail. He's a person that don't want you to dig into his business. And so, but I thought, you know, something's going on. So all of a sudden, he started kind of getting a book a month. You know, and so, and then I'd say, well, you know, what do you think about that? I'd text him, hey, what do you think about that book? Oh, yeah, I like that, or I like this, or I like that, you know. And so, you know, I haven't done that in a while now because he finally told me, he said, hey, Dad, I mean, you know, I got other things I got to do, you know. But what? Because I wanted to instill in him what? I wanted to instill in him this right here. And this is one of the things that I text to these boys from time to time. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Amen? Man, that is a life verse for our kids. But how they're going to walk in the truth, they're going to see it in our lives. That's how they're going to walk. That's where the challenge is. How they're going to walk in the truth, they're going to see it in our lives. And our faithfulness to the Lord, regardless of what age we are, regardless if they're kids or grandkids or whatever, but they're going to see it through our faithfulness by walking in the Lord. And that's what he's laying out here, the writer of Hebrews is laying out. So in closing, let me say this. How am I doing in my race? How am I doing in my race? You know. And then the last thing, the lesson to learn is life is a marathon. And the application is what will I let stop me? Is something stopping you? You know, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a job, maybe it's a hobby or a habit. Maybe it's something in your life that's stopping you from being that person that God can use as a godly example. Let me tell you what, it's trash. You're trading trash for treasure, buddy, because let me tell you what, won't anything ever be greater said than that right there about your children, and they'll appreciate what you've done in their lives. And so what am I saying today? Well, as far as this coming into Mark's life is this, is he's starting a new chapter in his life. And so what I can challenge him is this, is finish well. You know, we as Christian people, all of us, it's like life, we're writing a book. And I say this a lot of times at funerals, but we are, we're writing a book. And so we just turn chapters. And so this is another chapter in his life, another chapter in his church's life. And so we just turn chapters. But the thing is this, is this is not the end of his book or not the end of ours. And what I want us to do as a church, and what Mark wants to do as a church is this, he wants us to finish well. We have a part to play in this church. We have an opportunity to make a difference in other people's lives. And that's what we're to do here as a church. And so I hope that we're continuing on to be the church that God wants us to be. Because what? You've heard me say it a lot of times, one monkey don't stop no show. And that's with Mark and that's with me or anybody else. We keep going on and making a difference in people's lives. That's what it's all about. It's his church, not ours. We just get to be a part of it. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand here today on this Mother's Day, and we thank you, dear God, for our mothers. Thank you for the godly example that they've set before us. Many of us here can say that. Some people can't. They didn't have that example, Lord. And God, we pray for them that they'll see the importance of what they missed, but also be that example to their kids and to their grandkids. So if we look at the writer of Hebrews here, he's encouraged us, he's challenged us to live a life of faith and to live a life of faithfulness. It's not going to be easy. A race never is. It's a sense of endurance. Life is a marathon, and we have to keep going. We have to keep getting back up and striving and stressing to do the things that are right. And so, God, help us be that kind of people. Help us be that kind of parents. Help us to be that kind of a church, Lord. God, we thank you, dear God, for all that you do for us and what you've done in our lives. And God, let us be the people of God that we might make a difference in the world around us, that we might be the example that you call us to be right where we're at. If it be in a school, if it be in our home, if it be at a workplace, wherever it's at, Lord, especially in our church, let us be that example that other people can follow and be faithfully following you, Lord. God, we love you and we praise you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. For that starts at, friend, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where it starts at. There's got to be a time in your life where you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then the Christian life begins. And so if you've never done that, then this invitation is for you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you've got something you want to, Mark and I pray with you about or for you about, or maybe you just want to come to the altar and pray, and you've got something going on in your life or somebody else's life. But if you have a need in your life, you come. You come. Let's all stand.